Hello and welcome. I pray that you and all your loved ones are doing well and staying healthy. Let's turn to God now with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, this morning we come to you with so many things upon our hearts. Keep our hearts and minds open to your words of healing and of hope, and give us spirits of courage for all the times ahead. We ask your special blessing on all those this day who are afflicted with illness and debilitating diseases, for those who mourn, for those who feel lost and alienated from family and from friends. Be with these dear people, Lord, and help them to feel your comforting and restoring presence. Give us also, Lord, a spirit of peace this day and a joy that we might live your love through our attitudes and our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, let's welcome Nathan Drake.
Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, make me Savior.
Every person who believes that Jesus is in fact the Messiah is God-born. If we love the one who conceives the child, we'll surely love the child who was conceived. The reality test on whether or not we love God's children is this: do we love God? Do we keep his commands? The proof that we love God comes when we keep his commandments, and they are not all that troublesome. Every God-born person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, the divine Christ. He experienced a life-giving birth and a death-killing death. Not only birth from the womb, but baptismal birth of his ministry and sacrificial death. And all the while, the Spirit is confirming the truth, the reality of God's presence at Jesus' baptism and crucifixion, bringing those occasions alive for us. A triple testimony, the Spirit, the baptism, and the crucifixion. And the three in perfect agreement. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. There's a story by Hugh Price Hughes called The City of Everywhere. And in this story, a man arrives in a city one cold morning, and as he gets off the train, he sees that the station is like any other station except for one thing. Everyone's barefoot. No one wears shoes. He notices a barefoot cab driver. He says, "Pardon me, I was just wondering, why don't you wear shoes? Don't you believe in shoes?" "Oh, sure we do," says the driver. "Well, why don't you wear them?" says the man. "That's the question," the driver replies. "Why don't we wear shoes? Why don't we?" At the hotel, it's the same. The clerk, the bellboys, everybody is barefoot. In the coffee shop, he notices a nice-looking gentleman at a table opposite him, and he says, I notice you aren't wearing any shoes, and I wonder why. Don't you know about shoes?" And the man replies, "Well, of course I know about shoes." "Then why don't you wear them?" asks the stranger. "That's the question," he says. "Why don't we? Why don't we?" After breakfast, he walks out on the street in snow, but every person he sees is barefoot. He asks another man about it and points out how shoes protect the feet from the cold. And the man says, "Oh, we know about shoes. See that building over there? That's a shoe manufacturing plant, and we are proud of that plant. And every week we gather there to hear the man in charge tell about shoes and how wonderful they are." "Then why don't you wear shoes?" asks the stranger. "That's the question," says the man. And that's the challenge for us and our faith. We know about God. We know about how we're called to live. We even know why we should and the benefits. So why do we still struggle with this? Well, today, we celebrate Ascension Sunday, remembering when the disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven. It was a new day for them. And they were faced by a question that we too have to face. Do we just see God's kingdom as something that we only enter after death? Or after Jesus' return? Do we spend our earthly lives just waiting for God's kingdom to come? Or do we take seriously our responsibility and our calling as children of God to work toward this kingdom now? Now, this can, of course, seem overwhelming, impossible even. And feeling overwhelmed, it's very easy to give up before we even begin. But through Jesus, we have a vision of what this world could be. And that's why these words from 1 John are such an important reminder. The reality test on whether or not we love God's children is this. Do we love God? Do we keep his commands? And the proof that we love God comes when we keep his commandments, and they are not at all troublesome. In other words, when we keep them out of love. But as Dr. Keith Wagner reminds us, the problem is that people of faith want to believe that their faith is like an insurance policy, that because they believe, nothing bad will ever happen to them. Or when something bad happens, they say their faith just wasn't strong enough. They play the if only game. If only I had believed more. If only I had loved more, if only I'd followed all the rules. Well, the letter of 1 John, he says, was written to believers who wanted to be connected to God and strengthen their faith. But sadly, there was confusion about what it meant to be people of faith. And the faith community was struggling to be a cohesive group of people. And the way they treated others was not with neighborly love. But as the scripture tells us, the conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. And the person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. But to really believe is to live consistently with what we say we believe. And to have faith is to trust, even when things happen that make no sense. Certainly, all that we've been going through over this last year or so has been testing our faith. It's knowing that we can overcome anything when we live out of love. And living out of love is not about what we say, what we think. It's about how we act. Richard Gribble shares an old legend of how once upon a time, long, long ago, a young man decided to become a saint. He left his home, his family, possessions, everything he owned, and he gave the money to the poor. He walked off into the desert to find God. He walked through the desert sands until he found a dark cave. Here, he thought, I'll be alone with God. Nothing can distract me from God. He prayed day and night in the dark cave, but God sent him great temptations. He imagined all the good things of life and he wanted them desperately. However, he was determined to give up everything in order to have God alone. Well, after many months, the temptation stopped, and Saint Anthony of the Desert was at peace, having nothing but God. According to the legend, one day God came to Anthony and said, "Leave your cave for a few days and go off to a distant town. Look for the town shoemaker, knock on his door, and stay with him for some time." Well, the holy hermit was puzzled by God's command, but he left the next morning as he was directed, and he walked all day across the desert sands. By nightfall, he'd come to the village. Inquiring with the local people, he found the home of the shoemaker. He knocked on the door, and a smiling man and his wife opened the portal and welcomed him. Are you the town shoemaker?" Anthony asked. "Yes, I am," the man answered. He noticed how tired and hungry the hermit looked, and he invited him into his modest house. "You need something to eat and a place to rest," said the shoemaker. He and his wife prepared a fine meal for Anthony and gave him a clean and comfortable bed in which to sleep. Well, the hermit stayed with the shoemaker and his wife for 3 days. He asked many questions about their lives, but didn't reveal much about himself, if anything, even though the couple was very curious about his life in the desert. The three talked a lot, and in the process became good friends. And after 3 days, Anthony bid the couple goodbye. He walked back to the cave, wondering why God had sent him to visit the shoemaker and his family. When Anthony arrived, God asked him, "What was the shoemaker like?" "Well, he's a very simple man with a lovely wife who's pregnant. They seem to love each other very much. He has a small shop where he makes shoes, and he clearly works very hard. They have a simple house, and they give money and food to those who have less than they have. He and his wife believe very strongly in you and pray at least once a day." Well, God listened carefully and responded, "You'll be a great saint, Anthony, but so too will be the shoemaker and his wife." In this story, God certainly appreciated Saint Anthony's sacrifice and dedication. And he acknowledged his devotion and self-discipline. But often that saintly image can be a real roadblock for all the rest of us. For me, this story is a good reminder that being a faithful Christian is not just about following the rules, staying out of trouble, just staying away from everything in the world. Life is messy. But real love for our neighbor shows that our love for God is real. And every time we find a way to put that love into action, no matter how small, no matter how minor it might seem. Well, it brings us all closer to the kingdom of God. And my friends, that's how we win in this wounded world, no matter what life throws at us. So why don't we just do it? Let us pray. How generous, Lord. On this day, we lift up each one of our church family, grateful that you've brought us together and grateful for the gifts shared. May all be blessed and used according to your purpose. Patient God, it hasn't been easy for us to be disciples or witnesses to your love. We get caught in traps of anger, impatience, fear. We get distracted. Our words and spirits can become cynical and jaded. And yet, we are reminded that at all times, you are with us, guiding and guarding us. Forgive us when we act as though we feel like you don't care about us or about this world. Remind us that we're called to be those who live the faith of hope and reconciliation, of courage and understanding. Forgive us and lift us up when we've fallen. Guide our hearts in all we do and say. Dearest Lord, on this day we pray for all our broken world, grieving for those caught in wars and conflict and loss of every kind. We pray for your healing in every area of the lives of each one. Loving Lord, on this day we are grateful to be reminded that we are indeed your children, each at a different point on our faith journey, each seeking your healing, love, and mercy. We're grateful for ways to share the good news of Jesus, who taught us about your love for each one of us and for your magnificent creation. But there are those for whom this world seems a distant hope or experience. I struggle with the difficulties of everyday living and with addictions, with illness, with alienation. Help us to bring the good news to all through gentle kindness and compassionate understanding. Let our actions and our attitudes reflect all that Jesus taught us. For just a moment, Lord, we take a deep breath and we remember in silence all those who are in difficulty. You've heard the cries of our hearts, O Lord. We ask for your healing mercies on all whom we have mentioned by voice and by prayer. We also ask for your healing in our own lives. Keep our hearts open to your love and help us by witness of mercy and hope wherever you place us. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, we have so many distractions right now, and we can get so lost in the ways of this world. We can feel so discouraged, but know that God is always by our side. Know that he is there leading us, forgiving us, loving us. And now may you go in God's love, God's strength, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless you.